The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat, but here am I dying from hunger? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry. And when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may the Lord give you his peace. To give you a little more biographical information, I'll begin with a sin of my childhood. Back in Wisconsin, land of the cheeseheads, where I grew up, there I was on top of our family restaurant that we were running, in the apartment above it where we lived. And the roof there was a roof with a lot of little stones, gravel. So there I was, about 9 years old, with a buddy from the neighborhood, taking fistfuls of pebbles and throwing them off the roof at cars going by on the highway. We couldn't be seen there, so we thought, okay, well, why not? And we were sliding pebbles down the roof at customers going into the restaurant. Until we heard the voice down below, "Who's up on the roof?" My stepdad's voice. We go running in the house. "Were you guys on the roof?" "No, Dad." "Did you guys see anybody on the roof?" "No, Dad." Okay, mine as well. Well, thanks be to God, I think my stepdad already knew me quite well. And he didn't do anything right away. And this was really eating away at me for 3 days. Till finally I fessed up. I said, "Yeah, Dad, you know, that was strong in me a few days ago." And he said, "Yeah, Rich, I knew it was you. But I thought in this case it'd be better if you fessed up to it." And for me, there were a lot of lessons as I think back on that little event. And certainly one is just the joy and the freedom that comes when we fess up. Another is that I could trust him, my stepdad, and just that he knew me already. And later in life, more recently, working again with kids at the orphanage, hopefully, you know, a little more patience, just when they do dumb, destructive things. Okay, I did that too. There's hope. But most of all, it was a lesson really about the Heavenly Father and just his patience with us, who obviously knows everything wrong that we've done, but he patiently desires and waits for us to fess up, to come to that freedom. And he greatly respects our freedom to do so. But he knows, obviously, what's best for us. I'll share with you another, just a recent story. It just happened just before coming up here, of a man who came over to the friary because some local poor Clare nuns sent him over. They called up, "There's a man who urgently needs to speak to a priest." So he came and told me basically his plan was he wanted to leave a few things with us for his brother, and then go off and disappear and take his own life. And so, thanks be to God, he entered into confession. And I'll obviously pass over everything that was said there. But just, I mean, physically, he was literally beating his head against the wall. Just, it was such a wrestling match with despair. And afterwards, we prayed together the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And he was just kind of learning the response, "Have mercy on us and on the whole world." At first, kind of stumbling along to repeat that. Gradually praying it with more security. And then a really beautiful moment came when just spontaneously he was adding the word, "Father. Have mercy on us, Father, and on the whole world. De misericordia de nosotros, Padre, y del mundo entero." And a great turning point there. And he told me before he left that he was confident that with the Lord, he could face the consequences of what he did. He could face the situation, confront it. So the Lord's mercy continues. This was just, again, this past week. The Lord's mercy continues to be poured out in abundance in this time of Lent in a special way. And that mercy is for all of us. There may be some here thinking, "Well, thank God, you know, I haven't thrown rocks at cars lately. I haven't done anything where I'm banging my head like that against the wall." And yes, thank God. Yes, thank God. But let's look at the older son here as well in the parable. Older son looks like kind of the good guy. But we can actually see a lot of sins in the older son, in the short dialogue. There's obvious pride, self-righteousness. There's envy of his brother. There's this harsh judging of his brother. There's kind of a gossiping sense about his brother, or with his brother. And with the father, even though he lived there with the father, there was a great distance. There was still a great distance with his father because of a lack of gratitude. He didn't realize how generous the father really was with him. So he accuses the father of the opposite. And even disobedience, And he says here, you know, look, I've always been obedient to you. And what's going on? The father's pleading for him, come in. He says, no. And he doesn't even realize his disobedience. He's just so blind in his own pride. Perhaps for some of us, at least myself, it's the sins of the older son that I wrestle with, that we may wrestle with, and need to wrestle with, and repent of. As St. Paul says here, in the name of Christ, I implore you, be reconciled with God. What does that mean? To know the goodness of God the Father. Reconciled is to look eye to eye. To look into the Father's eyes and personally realize how good he is to you, personally, and how much he loves you personally. It's a question for today. How close am I really in my relationship with God the Father? Do I say God the Father from that place in my heart of that personal gratitude? Or is it more kind of, oh, that's a nice idea, God the Father, it's a nice idea? Right? Is there a distance? If so, we can close that gap by his grace, by his mercy. Even if we're sort of those who come to his house, come to Mass, etc., we can bridge that distance by his grace. And so, how to do so? Obviously, the first step back, Pope Francis mentioned on Friday, in a penance service, is confession, first step to return to the Father. There's other steps as well to come to that real freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Steps of forgiving others. So on Tuesday, we'll focus both on, in the mission, on reconciliation with God and also forgiving others. Monday night, we'll focus more on just simply being grateful for the great gift of faith that we've received in a more personal way. If it feels like it's maybe an arranged marriage, to really embrace it in a more personal way. But we've received. And Wednesday night, we'll talk more about the spiritual battle, the Holy Spirit, the enemy, and the need sometimes to renounce those lies of the enemy. And then on Thursday, to come to that greater freedom of even being able to share something of the faith that we've received with others, evangelization. And we'll be speaking of Our Lady of Guadalupe as the star of evangelization. So again, that deeper freedom the Lord invites us to is freedom to choose the good, is freedom to let go of that, again, prison of resentments. That, you know, if we want to be instruments of peace in the world today, it begins with repenting of sins of the older brother, right? Each of us, to be instruments of peace in our own families and households. That's where wars begin. And the deeper freedom of being able to give God permission to do what he wants to do in our lives with great trust. Deeper freedom of living in the present moment, not in the future, not in the past. Freedom from excessive worry, anxiety. All this kind of freedom the Lord desires for us. It's the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So we hope, anyways, that this mission may be an opportunity to grow in these graces. We've been praying for you. There's others praying for you. Invitation is to pray for one another, a special way during this week. That would be a deeper personal experience of the Lord's goodness and love for us, his mercy and his grace. And so that invitation is there. To come to the evenings if you can. If you have responsibilities where you can, at least to pray. The Lord's grace can enter into your homes in a new way as well. And so we ask, even now, we ask for that grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your infinite goodness, your love for each of us, your sons and daughters here, of every age. And we ask you, Father, to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us during this week, when we come to know you and love you, be more grateful to you. Through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, may his holy name be glorified and praised, now and forever. Amen.